Howdy, folks. Taylor here. Just had to record this little preface to the draft episode because this thing was a technical mess. YouTube was buffering for us like crazy the whole time. I accidentally ended the broadcast before we could sign off. My microphone levels just shot way down for no discernible reason. So we really appreciate you all hanging around with us as we digested that first round of the draft. And hopefully next time we try to do something like this, I can engineer a little bit cleaner of an episode for you all. You can find the video of this on YouTube if you're interested. Just search for It's Always Sunny in Chiefs Kingdom. But otherwise, please enjoy the show.
Welcome in to It's Always Sunny in Chiefs Kingdom. I'm Austin. Find me on Twitter at Real Boiler. Blah, 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 blah. The live show, Taylor. It's our only live show of the year. I can't talk.
Fourth word in. Twitter
at Real Bird Lawyer. We're here live on the YouTube. We do this once a year. We're not YouTubers. We're podcasters. And I'm here with my buddy Taylor Witt. We're here live on YouTube. Find him on Twitter at Taylor _ Witt. We are live. The Lions just took a linebacker at 18 overall, Jack Campbell, and we're going to be with you until the Chiefs pick at 31 or until they pick whenever they trade up.
Yeah, right.
What's going on, man?
It's exciting. It's really exciting. Obviously, you know, the buzz here in Kansas City is all more about the spectacle of the draft than it really was even the pick. Like my mom asked me, like, hey, are you like, is there like someone I should be like excited about or whatever? And I'm like, well, I mean, not you. Like, you know, it's just, she just wanted to get in on the draft excitement and really just the spectacle of Union Station and the fountains, the people enjoying the barbecue and stuff. I mean, Kansas City is on display right now, which is, you know, thrilling for us. And I'm excited to see what the Chiefs get up to.
It's going to be crazy. I mean, obviously, the Chiefs are already getting a lot of heat from certain quarters, haters hating and staying mad because the draft opened with Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes walking out with the Lombardi Trophy. And, you know, that's the first time we've ever gotten to see that at a draft because, as Roger Goodell pointed out in his opening monologue, this is the first time in the short number of years that the draft has been going on the road that the draft has been in the defending Super Bowl champion city. So, you know, I mean, listen, what, you thought we were going to not show off the Lombardi Trophy when the draft is in Kansas City at the start of the first round? Come on, get out of here.
Shout out to Trash Man, Mr. Fetus, for being in live in our chat already. What's up, Birds of War? Ka-ka! Ka-ka! Hope you guys are fired up for this first round. It's been really interesting so far. I've been giving a lot of crap to people online so far that for doing mock drafts. Like, I mean, obviously that's kind of my thing. I'm not really into the mocking. I get wanting to know about the prospects and everything. Like, that's fun. And if you use mock drafts as a way to learn about the players, then like I get it. But like people that were saying like, oh, X had Jahmyr Gibbs mock the Chiefs or whatever, like no one should have ever talked about where guys were being mocked. Like, you can, yeah, anyway. So already the Texans made the huge move up to number 3. That was a really fun move for them after taking CJ Stroud at 2. Then they go right back with Will Anderson at number 3. So they grab, you know, two of the first three picks there.
I mean, we should pause there because the fact that they took C.J. Stroud in itself was a tremendous upset. I mean, literally 3 hours ago, you could get him at like plus 800 or something on DraftKings to go second overall.
Good call.
I mean, we've been hearing for a month from everyone in the NFL draft industry. To your point, nobody knows anything because everybody was saying the Texans – love Bryce Young, but they won the last game of the year and they have the second overall pick. You snooze, you lose. They don't like CJ Stroud. They're going to take Will Anderson or they're going to trade down or whatever they're going to do. And then, you know, 30 minutes before they were on the clock, the odds skyrocketed down. He was off the board on MGM. He was off the board on DraftKings.
Right.
He was off the board on FanDuel. And sure enough, they take CJ Stroud second overall. Then they trade back up the very next pick, third overall, to take a non-quarterback from 12-3, which is insane.
Yeah.
I mean, it just is. The draft started off.
Nick Caserio went nuts.
Listen, I mean, like, the first overall pick was chalk, but the guy's still 5'10". We are both sturdy men of 6 foot, exactly. I mean, we're were an inch and a half taller than the new quarterback of
the number one overall pick in the NFL
Panthers.
Draft. I mean,
and significantly weightier as well.
Significantly,
so
yeah,
he's
sure.
a string bean. I mean, you know, if we're just talking pure mass alone, body mass alone, mm-hmm. we could play in the NFL.
We could. If
Bryce Young could do it.
We could tackle him. I mean, we might not be able to do anything. No, we couldn't tackle him. He would destroy
us. There's no chance.
Shout out Josh Zylstra, Kaka. Hey, buddy. Williams Kaka. In the chat. Howdy, guys. Devin, OU Sass. Our guys are here to celebrate the draft. So we appreciate all of you for joining
us. The Bucks are selecting Pittsburgh defensive tackle Kalijah Kancey at number 19, which honestly, it's a good pick for the Bucks, but this board, we're going to go through the picks here, and we're in the range here. We always hop on every year to start our live show right in the range where the Chiefs could trade up. And last year, we got in by the skin of our teeth right before they traded up to take Trent McDuffie.
Yeah.
But we have here on this board, just getting back to it, I mean, Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Will Anderson, and then at number four, I've been just absolutely destroying and shitting on Chris Ballard for years now because the guy is insanely conservative and he's too conservative to be an NFL GM. And we had to deal with for at least 2 to 3 years after he left Kansas City with the idea that he's a better GM and we let him get away. And the Chiefs made a mistake letting this guy get out of the building. I actually do like this pick. They take Florida quarterback Anthony Richardson, who we've talked about on this show. He has a 10 relative athletic score, which means he is literally the most athletic quarterback of all time. Now, can he throw? It's TBD. But if you're going to take a swing on a guy, I mean, listen, Justin Fields can't throw, and the Bears had an average offense last year with literally nothing except Justin Fields' legs, and he can't even. I mean, not only can he not throw, but like, I mean, the guy's not a quick. He doesn't seem to be a super quick processor. And Anthony Richardson, we heard, scored pretty well on the S2 test. He's got one of the lowest pressure to sack ratios of any quarterback in this draft class, and actually, I think one of the better pressure to sack ratios of any QB. I actually think Mahomes was second or third behind maybe Bryce Young, and then I think Richardson was right behind Mahomes. Yeah. I mean, talking about draft prospects elite. Over the last 6 or 7 years. So, I mean, a guy that's elite at navigating the pocket, I mean, maybe he learns to be more accurate. If not, the guy runs a 4.4 and he's 240 pounds. So,
look at the news from today. Look at the number one paid player in the NFL. It's Lamar Jackson. I mean, you don't have to be a prototype. Now, he's a great quarterback, and he can throw the ball. But, I mean, the athleticism and the mobility and being able to do a lot of the stuff that makes you, you know, so dangerous in the NFL these days is not necessarily your old Tom Brady model of just being a pocket passer. Like, you've got to be able to move, and boy, can he move. So, yeah.
And Anthony and Lamar Jackson, I mean, Anthony Richardson has a much better arm than Lamar Jackson. Now, whether – I mean, just in terms of pure, just in terms of pure arm strength. I mean, Lamar has, I would say, a fairly average. Yeah, I don't know about a baby arm, but I would say a fairly average arm. So number five, the Seahawks take cornerback Devin Witherspoon, which was kind of an interesting choice. They were, you know, heavily favored to take defensive tackle Jalen Carter, who made it all the way to number nine. We'll talk about that. Eagles stay winning there. Yeah. But Devin Witherspoon was pretty much the consensus cornerback one, along with Christian Gonzalez, who ended up going to the Patriots all the way down at 17. The Cardinals obviously traded down, and then they traded back up to take Paris Johnson Jr., offensive tackle out of Ohio State. Did you hear this blurb about Kyler making that pick for them?
No, I didn't.
So Kyler Murray, this is funny. So Kyler Murray, obviously, who knows if he's even going to be the Cardinals quarterback a year from now, but he told the Cardinals' new GM, who we also have to talk about in a second because of the whole tampering situation. Mm-hmm. But let me finish this Kyler anecdote here really quick. So Kyler's been scouting offensive linemen every year. And 2 years ago, he told the Cardinals to take Creed Humphrey, who was his teammate at Oklahoma.
Kyler can scout.
So Kyler can scout. And the year before that, he told them to take Tristan Wirfs, who went to the Bucks. It was great and obviously has been a really good player for them. So the Cardinals finally decided to listen to Kyler, and they drafted Kyler's choice of offensive lineman at number 6 overall. We have to talk about the other thing that happened with the Cardinals really quick. The Cardinals got busted for tampering, which is funny enough in itself because they got busted for tampering with Jonathan Gannon, who is a complete boob and doesn't – I mean, like, I'm – prepared to declare that hire a bust already.
Yep.
But in addition to that, they got busted for tampering, and then somehow they were permitted to just trade a pick to the Eagles to solve the tampering.
Yeah.
And the Eagles, like, get a better draft pick for being tampered with. It's preposterous.
Not only is it preposterous just on its face of what happened there, but it's also completely not in line with anything that's ever happened in the NFL.
I've never seen it.
So the Eagles gave up pick 94 and a 2024 fifth to the Cardinals for pick 66. Now, if you run that through a trade calculator or some type of, you know, if they just did that trade without the tampering, that's a massive win for the Eagles, right? But instead, the way that Schefter and the Newsies worded it was that the Eagles and Cardinals settled a tampering investigation. So they
settled it.
They settled it between themselves. Roger Goodell didn't have to get involved. Nobody had to take a pick. You know, I wonder if Miami would have liked to settle their tampering with Tampa. And instead of losing the first round pick this year, what if Miami just said, we'll just send you guys the pick instead?
We'll send you the pick and you give us back a third rounder.
Yeah.
So,
right.
You know, we just moved down a couple of slots in the draft instead of, absolutely.
Not even Miami being pissed. Tampa should be pissed that they didn't get a pick. That Miami got punished and Tampa just didn't get anything for that tampering. I mean, as you pointed out to me when we were bitching about this on the side, you know, where's the Chiefs pick for Jeremy Maclin? Where's that pick?
Sure.
Like, it just.
Tampa's saying, what about me? Am I not fun to tamper with? Why don't I get a draft pick for this? I mean, just absolutely silly. So moving on along here, the next pick in the draft was, we had at number 7, Tyree Wilson going to the Raiders. So a little Texas Tech on Texas Tech violence, hopefully in our direction. Obviously he's a pass rusher from Texas Tech, physical freak, kind of a little bit raw still, but he's a beast of a player. I mean, the Raiders needed everything, so I guess it's reasonable for them to take Tyree Wilson there. I was really worried that they were going to take Jalen Carter, who is sort of a classic old school Raiders pick, except that he's also talented. They like to take guys that have off-field issues, and obviously he was implicated in the racing situation, which I guess, to be fair, would be extremely dicey for the Raiders to do from a PR standpoint, given their recent history. So I guess I can see why they maybe drew the line and, you know, taking a guy that was involved in a race that killed a couple of people, a couple of his teammates and staffer at Georgia. But they take Tyree Wilson. And then, man, this draft just keeps getting weirder. At 8, the Falcons took Bijan Robinson, even though Tyler Algier was like a fifth round pick for them and really flashed and was good last year. And they said, nah, it's fine. We'll take a running back in the top 8. And then, of course, that clears the way for the Eagles to just trade up and get Jalen Carter, the best player in the draft in terms of tape, at number 9 overall. I don't know. Sure. I'm glad that we don't play in the same conference as the Eagles, because
I mean, Howie Roseman, that far, that conference is a joke.
Well, okay, that's fair. If we could move to the NFC, what I mean is, I'm glad they're not in the AFC.
Yes.
It's fine.
Yes.
It's fine that it would be great if we could move to the NFC, because obviously those guys are.
Yeah, you said I'm glad I don't play in the same conference as the Eagles, and I'm like, ah.
Yeah. What I mean is, I'm glad they don't play in our conference. Is what I mean by that. But yeah, I mean, just a wild top 9, and then the Bears rounding it out at 10, taking a tackle, Darnell Wright. We had a couple of offensive linemen go back-to-back there, Darnell Wright and Peter Skoronski, for the Titans, who were apparently trying to trade up to 3 and leap the Colts, presumably to take C.J. Stroud, because then they didn't end up doing it because the Texans took Stroud 2nd overall. But really the first, like, I mean, really holy shit pick here was by our Lions at number 12.
Yes. Yeah. The Lions.
What are they doing?
The Lions are nuts. They decided, you know, we're just going to, even though things were really exciting for us last year, Seahawks get Jaxon Smith-Njigba. That is unfortunate, but that's okay. But yeah, the Lions.
First wide receiver off the board at number 20.
First wide receiver off the board. So
Quentin Johnson's still available.
Still a good board for the Chiefs, for sure. But that's
Safe Flowers still available.
And I don't think that JSN was ever, I don't think anybody ever and dreamed that he would be picked by the
To Chiefs. Be honest with you, it's great that he goes off the board here, because you know who's picking next? The Chargers, which means the Chargers will not get Jaxon Smith-Njigba. So if we're not annoying. If we're not going to get him, at least he's not going to go to the Chargers. But it is it's a little bit of a bummer. This is still a great board for the Chiefs, the way this has been shaping up. Jahmyr Gibbs was the pick at 12. I don't think I actually read that off. And I mean, it's Number one, it's crazy. We had two running backs go in the top 12. Did you look up the last time that happened? Did you tell me that in the chat?
The last time one running back went in the top 20 was 2018.
And we had two in the top 12. And we had two in the top 12.
Yeah.
And not only that, but I mean, two going before the first wide receiver, the first pass catcher.
Yes.
Didn't go off the board until 22 running backs going off. I mean, it's crazy. And what's especially crazy about it is the Lions had DeAndre Swift. They signed the guy from the Bears, David Montgomery, as a running back. I mean, like, they have a really good offensive line. So it's like they have a good running game. Anyway, did they really need to take a running back at 12? It seemed pretty chalk. Goes to the Packers, a solid player who's projected to go, you know, kind of in this middle of the first round. And then Broderick Jones, the offensive tackle from Georgia, who a lot of people really like, guy who's still a little bit raw, but has a ton of physical ability. The Steelers traded up with the Patriots to get him. At 15, the Jets do us a huge favor by taking Will McDonald, who was, I believe, on the consensus IASIC big board.
The reaching's been, it's been pretty shocking. It's definitely a couple of these, I mean, especially the Lions, which we'll get to in a little bit, but yeah, it's been wild.
Yeah, it's been crazy. So the Patriots then do circle back around and get Christian Gonzalez, who obviously was cornerback one or cornerback two on most people's boards. This would annoy the hell out of me if the Patriots were relevant.
If they had Tom Brady
anymore. Still. Yeah, right. If they were good, this would be like, oh, I can't believe the Patriots got Christian Gonzalez at 17 overall after they traded down. Like, that's such a Bill Belichick thing. That's such a Patriots thing.
Instead, the rich get richer. They're the fourth best player in the, or fourth best team in the AFC East. So.
Right. So they're not, I mean, who cares, really? I mean it's a bummer that obviously that he fell that far. But like, the thing is, you want good players. If they're not going to be on your team, you want them to be on a team that doesn't compete with you, that's not a competitor to you. So, you know, I'd rather Christian Gonzalez go to the Patriots than go to the Chargers or the Bengals or the Bills or the Jets or, you know, like really pretty much 10 other teams in the AFC before the Patriots that would scare me more. Yeah. I mean, like you said, every other team in the AFC East,
every team in the AFC North. And every team in the AFC West. I mean, really, the Patriots are like the least.
They're ahead of the AFC South, and that's it. And really, like, they're not ahead of the Jags. Yeah, no, right.
Yeah, right. Right. I mean, right. The AFC South just picked up two franchise quarterbacks in the top four picks of this draft. And, you know, like, I don't think it's going to be a stretch at all to think that the Patriots are going to be like 14th in the AFC out of 16 teams. I mean, when you don't have a quarterback in this conference, you are cooked.
Yeah, and obviously we saw, you alluded to it earlier, we mentioned it already, but we should discuss Lamar Jackson at this point in the draft. We have the Ravens coming up on the board here in just a bit. They're picking right after the Chargers pick is in. He gets the highest paid deal in NFL history by APY. 5 years, $260 million coming in just above Jalen Hurts' deal. I mean, this was touch and go for a while. We thought that maybe Lamar was going to end up somewhere else, and they get the deal done, and he gets the deal done without an agent. He gave the extra money to his mom, who has been acting as his representative. Yeah. So, you know, she got $7 million out of the deal. Pretty good deal for Mrs. Jackson. She can represent me anytime, honestly. Like, if she can get me, you know, a cut of that sweet, sweet pie. But, you know, I mean, again, like, it's the Patriots have Mac Jones. I mean, honestly, like, this class, we should talk about the guys that came into the AFC, the quarterbacks. We have C.J. Stroud to the Texans, and we have Anthony Richardson to the Colts. And, you know, Stroud was a guy that, you know, early on in the process, I feel like people were projecting him. I mean, when the Panthers moved up, it seemed like Stroud was maybe going to be the guy. You know, prototypical size.
Certainly.
Obviously, he has an extensive track record starting at Ohio State.
A lot of buzz around
The best game of his career was the last game of his career against Georgia, and he was amazing in that game. And, you know, as the process went on, and just in the last 3 or 4 weeks when his S2 score leaked out and it was revealed, or at least was leaked that he had a sort of a below average S2 score. And for those of you that don't know, S2 is this new cognitive test that has been around for about 10 years. I think they were founded in 2013, but essentially is measuring processing speed and something that's becoming more and more significant in NFL circles, but also is only available to half the teams in the league. Their business model is to sell to two teams per division. I can tell you the Chiefs are one of those teams in the AFC West. And in fact, there was an Athletic article that came out yesterday that leaked the highest score in last year's draft. Did you happen to see who that was?
No. Brock Purdy, right?
It was not Brock Purdy. He was very good, and he scored off the charts. But the highest scoring player was Trent McDuffie, cornerback for the Chiefs.
I did see that. Yeah.
He got the highest score on the S2 test last year. Now, obviously, your ability to process information is most important when you're a quarterback, because that's going to be the position where you have to process the most information, and it's the most important to what you're doing on the football field. But cornerback is one of the picks, certainly, or one of the positions, certainly, that is going to, you know, require you to process information at a high level. Trent McDuffie scored off the charts. He was the highest rated player on the S2 test. We don't know Patrick Mahomes' exact score, but we do know that it was also very high, which is not surprising.
Elite.
But in any case, CJ Stroud, you know, and Anthony Richardson, both guys that, I mean, obviously you never want to see young talent necessarily come into your division, but CJ Stroud doesn't really bother me. Anthony Richardson, on the other hand, maybe, because if that guy hits, he's going to hit like super hard.
Yeah.
But again, like, I mean, the Patriots, we don't have to worry about the Patriots. We don't have to worry about, I mean, even we were talking about Lamar, do we feel any differently about the Ravens now that Lamar's back there? Like, are we worried about the Ravens?
I mean, I don't think we don't feel any differently about them. I think that's a good way of putting it. Like, they were annoying at times when they were good, but they fell apart a couple years ago. You know, there was
Chargers pick is in Quentin Johnston, pick number 21.
That is
a wide receiver, a big guy. I mean, good for them, I guess. You know, we should talk about the Chargers. Yeah, me too. But we should talk about the Chargers for a minute, because obviously he's one of the bigger wide receivers in this draft. He's 6'2.5". Not really a contested catch guy, though. That's a thing that a lot of people have kind of expressed concern about for him, is that for a bigger bodied wide receiver, he's not that good at the catch point. His hands aren't necessarily that good, but he's big and he's fast. And, you know, I mean, those guys usually are decent at playing wide receiver in the NFL. We should talk about the Chargers, though, because they have kind of an interesting little offseason ahead of them. They still have to pay Justin Herbert. And unlike Lamar Jackson, who's won an MVP, unlike Jalen Hurts and Joe Burrow, who have gone to and lost a Super Bowl, Justin Herbert hasn't done any of those things. His career highlight was losing a playoff game in which he had a 27-0 lead to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's
so,
not a good highlight.
No, it's not. So, I mean, reasonably, what is he going to command? I think his contract, obviously, Burrow is going to top all of these guys. He's going to make the most money, and he should. He's a former number one overall pick. He's obviously a great player.
Incredible skill set, good accomplishments so far.
And not a guy that, unlike Lamar Hurts, that you have to rely on his athleticism a little bit to get the elite level of play that you're getting from those players currently.
Yeah.
So he obviously is going to get paid the most, and he should get paid the most. After that, though, I mean, like, if you were going to bet on any of these guys for the next 10 years, who would you pay after Burrow? Like, who would be the next guy that you would want to pay the most money to? Because for me, I think you could make an argument for Herbert. And I think his agents certainly will be making that argument to the Chargers.
That's a good point. And, I mean, he has everything other than the NFL success. He, as far as the tape and the skill set and the, you know, just everything. If you scout Justin Herbert, he scouts like one of the top 2 to 3 best quarterbacks in the NFL. Certainly. I mean, he checks all every box except for winning. And really, you know, QB wins. We talk about how that's not really a thing, but it kind of is a thing. And he, for the longest time until week 16 or 17, whatever it was this year, had an under 500 career record through a couple years. So, like, it's not that he just had some bad playoff losses or whatever. Like, you know, like Lamar, for example, hasn't won much in the playoffs, but has been a unbelievable regular season.
I mean, you won a unanimous MVP award, and which is more impressive than winning a Super Bowl or a playoff game.
And had a 14-2 record that year, and like really, you know, wins games. Like Lamar wins. Yeah. He
sure.
And that's just not something that Herbert's been able to do, despite having a roster around him with superstars and with, you know, players that certainly are capable between Keenan Allen and Eckler. And I mean, this year, you know, Mac and all JC Jackson, all the guys they added on defense, Asante Samuel, they just weren't able to get over the hump and actually win a bunch of games. And I don't know how you pay that guy. I mean, I know they're going to pay them, but I don't know how you formulate his contract to make sense.
Right. Well, and we can't forget that Dean Spanos is one of the cheapest owners in the NFL. And, you know, traditionally, they haven't liked to necessarily pay up for superstars. The same can be said for the Bengals. Obviously, both of those franchises are in a position where they can and will have to pay Burrow and Herbert. But those negotiations could get contentious. They could get ugly. Just to circle back to this draft pick, I mean, this is part of the whole Chargers thing. It's wrapped up in everything that we're kind of talking about here, which is that they didn't win when they had the opportunity to win. When they had the roster and they had the cheap elite quarterback, they couldn't win a playoff game with it. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, they had to restructure half the team just to get under the cap and field a competitive roster this year. You know, Khalil Mack's not going to be there probably beyond the season. Keenan Allen might not be there beyond the season. Mike Williams is a good player, but he's getting up there in age. I think he's already 28, going to be turning 29 here shortly. So, I mean, to be frank, they need another wide receiver in there because they're not going to have those guys probably, you know, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. I mean, probably both of those guys are going to be gone in the next 2 years.
I think they need another next year because the way they restructured their contract, both of those guys are going to be getting over $30 million next year unless they cut them. So, like, both of them. And I mean, that's untenable. That's especially not if they're trying to pay Justin Herbert. And I mean, that's one of the reasons that they've had to, you know, field the Eckler trade calls and why Eckler wants out of there, because if they were a team that could afford to pay Austin Eckler, they would have already, obviously. And I think the Chargers, you know, if the exact same team makeup was just slotted in a time period that where Patrick Mahomes didn't exist, I think things would look a lot different for them. Like, I think that they could have, in an alternate universe, won a lot of games with just the players that they have right now, but they didn't. And when they didn't do that, now they're at the point where, you know, they're trying to get this guy a mega deal, and I just don't know how they're planning on being competitive once they do that, because unless your name's Patrick Mahomes, you're not winning a Super Bowl on a mega deal. It's never happened before, and unless you're Patrick Mahomes, it probably won't ever happen again. So
I was thinking about that this morning, and I tweeted that this morning. We don't talk enough about how Patrick Mahomes was the highest paid quarterback to ever win the Super Bowl, and he did it by beating three elite rookie quarterback contracts in a row, three elite Lawrence quarterbacks Burrow on hurts. Rookie deals in a row to win the Super Bowl as the highest paid quarterback ever. Yep. I mean, how do you compete with that?
Two guys that were picked one overall that were still in their rookie deals.
You cannot do it. Well, and not only
Zay Flowers, I mean, Ravens. That's three
son
in
of
a
bitch.
Row.
I mean, yeah.
Well, that sucks. That's the three guys.
You know, this is still. This is still a good board for the Chiefs, but it's not looking like a good board if they want a wide receiver. Maybe Jordan Addison. He would probably be the next guy on my list that I would be interested in. He probably is. I don't know. The Vikings, they better be taking Will Levis. I can't believe Will Levis is still on the board. Just given what we had heard about Will Levis. I mean, 2 days ago on Reddit, as I'm sure you know, there was a rumor that Will Levis was going to be going first overall.
He told someone.
Friend of a friend. What was crazy about that to me was the effect that it did seem to have on the sports books, which was wild. A completely unverified Reddit rumor, like, sent shockwaves through the whole league. He was at one point, I mean, 2 days ago, was a minus 600 to go second overall. And I guess it's just proof that we don't know. And Vegas doesn't know. Nobody knows. I mean, it's literally Vegas is setting those, reacting to the money coming in. And obviously, they just had to react to people betting on an unverified rumor that they saw on Levis or on Reddit. And all those people lost their money. So, you know, this is why you shouldn't sports bet.
And the other thing that Vegas does is they try and make everything zero. So, like, if they get a lot of money on one side, then they move stuff to where the next couple bets coming in are going to go on the other side. So, I mean, sometimes when Vegas reacts to something, it's not because they think it's going to happen. It's because the public has already reacted to it and pushed the line one way, and Vegas is just trying to cover their ass and push it back the other way. So, pretty bummed about Zay Flowers there. That's definitely a guy that, you know, he worked out with Mahomes down in Texas. A lot of pre-draft interviews with him where, you know, he was just giddy about yeah, I mean, he was laughing about, like, I got Patrick Mahomes in my phone. Like people were asking him, like, what was that like? And he's like, I got the league MVP that I can just text. Like, he said, that was crazy. Right. And then someone said, how would it feel to play for the Chiefs? And he goes, how do you think it'd feel to play for the Chiefs? And laugh. Like, he was in. I mean, that, but, you know, when you win the Super Bowl and you draft at the end of the first round, like, shit like this is going to happen. You're going to
get it is.
Guys that go.
It is what it is.
Yeah, it is.
It is what it is. Yeah. We still have, it's still a good board for the Chiefs. Still some very good players left on the board. We've got Nolan Smith still available, Joey Porter Jr., Miles Murphy, who would probably be my top pick at this point, the edge out of Clemson. I mean, listen, the Chiefs need an edge rusher. They've told us through their actions that, I mean, I'm sure they would have loved it if one of those three wide receivers had fallen to them. And they might still like Jordan Addison, who, again, would probably be the next guy on my board. He's undersized, but all the wide receivers in this draft are undersized. And, you know, I mean, that's just kind of the way that the league is trending. Remember, 2 years ago, Devonta Smith, everybody was freaking out about Devonta Smith's weight. And this draft, there's like 10 guys that are skinnier and smaller than Devonta Smith. So it's just like, he's a great player. So it just the way the league is trending, I'm not sure that necessarily concerns me. I mean, the quarterback thing, like, you know, taking a quarterback who's 5'10 and 180 pounds, I mean, that would freak me out a little bit. But, you know, that guy went number one overall. So, this is an interesting board for the Chiefs. Brian Branch, the number one safety, still on the board. All of the tight ends are still on the board, and this is a position that we've talked
big,
about.
Big, sexy tight ends. Big guys.
Yeah, I mean, with Charles and with Dan Harms, you know, our guests that have come on, our draft experts, that's a position that we've talked about a lot on this show for us. You know, the possibility that this being really the best tight end class, not only in terms of, like, several top-end talents, but the overall depth position being really strong. Dalton Kincaid from Utah, who a ton of people have compared to Travis Kelce.
Sure.
They were talking about on the PFF podcast last week about, you know, how proficient he is at slotting into zones in coverage, just finding soft spots in coverage. And Sam Monson said that Travis Kelce is like the best player he's ever seen at that. And, you know, Dalton Kincaid, especially for a college guy coming out, is right there. I mean, not that he's on Travis Kelce's level, obviously, but, you know, that could be interesting. So we still have a few picks to go until the Chiefs pick. I wanted to throw this at you really quick. We got a quote here from new Raiders edge rusher Tyree Wilson, a fellow Texas Tech alumnus and the first top 10 pick for the Texas Tech Red Raiders since Patrick Mahomes 2017, 6 years ago today. Happy anniversary.
Yep.
Worked out okay.
Yep.
Got my Super Bowl LVII champions on. You got your MVP t-shirt. Yeah, it worked out all right. He was asked if he has a message for Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. His response was, I do not.
That's good. That's pretty good. It's funny. Like the most likable thing a Raider's ever said.
I know. It's very funny. So no, a no comment from Tyree Wilson, which is
Patrick Mahomes jotting down in the old notes.
No, he does not. He doesn't want to see it. Yeah. He's not about it at all.
What do you think about the new Ravens, Odell Beckham, Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, Devin Duvernay, Mark Andrews?
I mean, I think it's kind of like, so this is the second time the Raiders or the Ravens have tried to do this, right? Like 2 years ago when they drafted Rashad Bateman, some wide receivers, and it didn't work. They had, you know, Hollywood and Bateman 2 years ago together, and it was like, we're going to run the spread, we're going to pass more, like, we're going to force Greg Roman to redo his offense so it's not just Lamar running the ball and whatever, and we're going to run a passing attack and we're going to pass the ball more. And that worked for like 4 weeks or whatever at the start of the 2020 season, I guess it was, or 2021, anyway.
Please, but, together.
I mean, like, it didn't really work, and I guess they're going back to the well, and they're going to – I mean, they do have Todd Monken in as their offensive coordinator now, who is very much a thrower of the football offensive coordinator, whereas Greg Roman, obviously, I mean, he worked with Kaepernick, he worked with Lamar, a fan of running the football.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Lamar is always going to contribute with his legs, but that is kind of interesting just in terms of – I mean, they went from having – a league worst wide receiver core to now having Odell and obviously Bateman if he's healthy, and Zay Flowers is a couple of weeks. So we're going to have to power rank the teams in the AFC because I don't know where the Ravens fit in at this point, honestly. Like, obviously, the last two seasons, they've performed well when Lamar's been on the field, and they've been a competitive team. Hell, they almost beat the Bengals last year with Snoop Huntley in the playoffs, if not for Sam Hubbard's fumble six that he took back that was the difference in that game. We might have been playing the Ravens in the second Snoop. Round or in the – yeah, sure. And, I mean – I don't know. It's a really interesting – I certainly, if I were a Ravens fan – like, my mental health has done a 180 today.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, getting Lamar in the fold and getting Zay Flowers on board is, yeah.
I mean, that's basically they went from maybe rebuilding. Like, even with the OBJ signing, like, if they didn't get their quarterback figured out and they didn't, I mean, even before Zay Flowers, just getting Lamar locked back in kind of put them back in the driver's seat for, like, okay, they can now compete for an AFC title. They can't go further than that because they won't beat the Chiefs, but, like, they can at least get that far with this roster. So I think they've got to be feeling a lot better about themselves. And really, when you look at the North, with the Bengals having to pay everybody and the Steelers are fine and the Browns are obviously the Browns. The Browns is the Browns. But the Ravens are still the team to beat in the North, in my mind, even with what the Bengals have done the last couple years. I still think that now that the Ravens have it figured out, if I were to guess how that division's going to shake out next year, I think I'd put the Ravens first.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's actually not crazy. I mean, I
they dealt
especially
with a ton of injuries, you know.
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah, they did.
They're
they did, squad. And you know, their defense gave. I mean, their defense gave Burrow a ton of trouble in that game. Now, granted, the Bengals had some significant offensive line injuries, but I mean, cry about it, you know. I'm not gonna feel sad for the Bengals for that whole situation. But yeah, that'll be an interesting, you know, it'll be interesting to kind of power rank these teams post draft. Obviously, the Bengals are going to be picking here in about six picks. We've got several of the Chiefs' top rivals in the AFC coming up. Obviously, the Vikings are on the clock right now. I haven't seen that pick come in yet. Then we've got the Jags at 25. We've got the Bills at 28 and the Bengals at 29. So,
I mean, it's the playoff teams. You know, like, it was all the other guys earlier, unless you traded or did something crazy. But now,
yeah, unless you're the Eagles and you had a top 10 pick.
Ridiculous.
Despite losing the Super Bowl.
So, yeah. But now
fucking Howie, man.
Now you're dealing with all the teams that are drafting at the back of the round for the most part because they were really good football teams last year. And, you know, we're gonna see what some of these teams are planning on doing. Maybe the Chiefs, you know, the other thing about
the Vikings take wide receiver Jordan Addison at 23.
So
four wide receivers.
I mean, what can you do? You know,
what can you do?
Four straight of the one position that you really, really are in love with go off the board. I mean, you're not going to reach. You're not going to go get a guy that you don't have a first round grade on, or you know, Jalen Hyatt or something. Like, no, you've got to.
We're not taking a wide receiver.
Nolan Smith drops or like.
Oh, I know. Miles Murphy.
Like you said, that would be big.
Go get one of the tight ends. I mean, Dalton Kincaid, honestly, you could make an argument for Dalton Kincaid being the best pass catcher in this draft, even though he's a tight end. He's not going to block.
If any team knows the value of a pass catching tight end, I mean, like, right. you don't need him to be prototypes. You don't need him to be
now.
Yeah.
Could you play Dalton Kincaid and Travis Kelce in the same offense
when neither of them
really block? I mean, you probably could. Andy Reid could figure it out, but I mean, it certainly would be.
They've been doing fine with the multiple tight ends and doing all the different. I mean, they're versatile. The one thing you know about Andy Reid is he's going to call plays for his players, not the other way around, not make his players run his plays. Like, he's going to put his players in the position to succeed. And, you know, I think, Jags immediately, Anton Harrison off the board. So,
he was kind of a guy that I think he was probably the last tackle that was reasonably in,
yeah,
you know, this tier that I would have been interested in the Chiefs taking, out of Oklahoma, a good player and a really good pass blocker. Still DeJuan Jones from Ohio State, the other Ohio State tackle, who I think would be a good player. I mean, like, he would be the only other guy that would maybe fit the tackle profile here for the Chiefs. But I mean, that's fine. Anton Harrison, it's fine. I mean, the Chiefs are going to get, they're going to have a shot at a good player at edge, maybe, potentially a cornerback. I mean, Joey Porter Jr. is still on the board.
Yeah.
Couple of edges they could get. They could end up with the best tight end or the best safety in this class. Not sexy, but positions that they could certainly use. It's an interesting little board here.
It certainly is. There are guys that Felix Anadike Uzama, BJ Ojulari. They're names that before the draft started, if you had said this is going to be the Chiefs' first round pick, I think a lot of people would have been pretty pleased with. You know, a lot of those guys are still on the board now.
Don't forget the Chiefs could still trade up.
They could trade back, which I don't know, first round, I don't know if they'd trade back, but they
speaking of trading up, it looks like the Giants have traded up.
Yes, it does. Well, that is interesting for the New York Football Giants.
It's interesting that this is now the second trade up that we've had in this draft where team has gone up one pick. Now the Giants, who did they trade with?
They moved up to 24. Let's see who was on the clock before the Giants. The Jags.
Did they just swap? Did the Jags just move down to 25?
Oh. I guess. I don't have the original board
Giants
in front
of me, but that's traded right. The Giants just traded pick 25 and 160 for pick 24. So this is the same. This is two picks in the first round where a team has gone up one pick
spot
and swapped with the team in front of them, which is weird, right? Like, I mean,
I agree. Unless you're trying to leapfrog someone,
but you're trying to leapfrog the team you're trading.
I know. That's what I was going through. Like, if you think they're going to get your guy and they agree to the trade, they probably weren't going to get your guy. Like, if you say, "Hey, do you want to trade?" and they go, "Yeah," you should be like, "Well, then I'm good." Like, if you do want to trade, then go ahead and pick. But, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
The NFL teams, GMs, I don't really get how they value certain stuff. But
Giants gave up 25, 160, and 240 to go up one spot. So it's like we gave up two picks and granted, you know, a mid and a late round pick. But, like,
yeah,
to go up one spot on the off chance that they were going to take the player that you were going to take. I don't know. It's a strange choice. And obviously there's partly like an opportunity cost there because they could have traded out of that pick to somebody else. And that other team could have moved up and leapfrogged the Giants for the player that the Giants wanted. They were rumored to be hot after a wide receiver. And obviously they just watched four wide receivers go in
four
a row
tight end
as the Chiefs did as well. So it's going to be interesting to see what they could do here. They have selected Banks. They selected Banks. Mm. Banks? Banks. Okay. Interesting.
Deontay Banks, cornerback out of Maryland.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, he's a good player. He's where was he on our big board here?
He was number 26 overall.
Consensus 26. I mean, that's fine. And obviously, their secondary was pretty thin, so I kind of get that here. But I'm surprised that Joey Porter Jr. is still on the board. The way that NFL teams value pedigree and the way that they love, I mean, they love the NFL. How could they not, right? Like, a lot of these teams are, there's so many Nepo babies in the NFL.
The whole week.
Yeah, it's wild
coaches,
to me that Joey
players,
Porter, yeah, that
involved.
Joey Porter Jr., mm-hmm. who was the consensus 15 overall on our board, so about 10 picks higher than Banks.
Right,
he's still on the board. He made it past the Steelers. He makes it past now the Giants. These older legacy franchises, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of the old guard of the NFL.
Speaking of Joey Porter Jr. before he gets drafted, I really liked The Ringer does breakdowns on every player, and they do a Shades Of. So, like, Paris Johnson, they'll say Shades of Laremy Tunsil, and Nolan Smith, Shades of Hassan Reddick. You know, they give you a little. And Joey Porter Jr., the blurb was Shades Of. Like if Joey Porter had a son who played corner, which was real good.
That's funny.
Got a little chuckle out of me. For sure. That's good. So Deonte Banks, and now that was pick 25. So obviously the Chiefs don't need to move up at this point. I mean, they don't, because there still are.
I mean, we've got on our consensus big board here, we still have Nolan Smith, who's our consensus 13. We've got Joey Porter Jr., who's our consensus 15. We've got Will Levis as our consensus 16.
And he's probably who's gonna take
Will Levis?
Someone's got to.
Is he?
Well, who?
Yeah, we've got the Jags. They're not going to take him. Yeah, the Cowboys aren't going to take him. I mean, the Saints just drafted Derek Carr. Yeah. I guess a team at this point, it's got to be a team in the second round that would have to come up
into the first, and wants
right?
Him.
Like, yeah, sure. So in the second, we've got 32 overall is the Steelers. They don't need a quarterback. 33 is the Cardinals. 34 is the Lions. That could be kind of interesting.
That would be fun.
That would be the one that makes the most sense. Goff's maybe the Seahawks.
Last year,
Seahawks are 37. Raiders are 38. So kind of Lions, Seahawks, Raiders would maybe be the teams that could potentially move back up. Titans at 41. They could maybe move up.
We know they
But they obviously didn't want Levis, because if they wanted Levis, they could have moved up to 3 and taken Levis. Or they could have taken him. They could have taken him when they were on the board at 11. I mean, any of these teams that have already picked could have taken him. But Lamar Jackson was the Ravens' second pick in the first round the year they took him, behind that old-ass tight end that they took. I can't remember his name. Who was it?
Good point. He was their first.
It was not Mark Andrews, who was also taken in that same draft.
It was.
It was some like 25-year-old tight end, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head because he wasn't good.
Dennis.
Anyway, jeez.
That's. Todd Heap?
I mean, no, I don't think it was
Dennis Pitta. I think it was Dennis Pitta.
Why don't you look this up while I continue to speak about
Likely? What's going on. No, because Likely is
no. Weird. That was more recently, and he wasn't a first round pick. So we've got. I mean, trade. Bills are trading up. They are on the clock.
Well,
who's that going to be? Interesting.
Joey Porter,
I mean, they're only going up a couple of picks. So that would make sense. I mean, obviously, after last year,
they wanted
the quarterback in the first round.
I would guess they're going defense here either way.
I would guess Nolan that Smith. Too. Given the run on wide receivers, they're probably not interested in taking a wide receiver. We should mention, by the way, also, we haven't brought his name up on this live podcast yet this evening, because live podcasting is hard. We don't really have anything scripted. We're just making it all up on the fly. But Nuke Hopkins, DeAndre Hopkins. The Cardinals came out and said, their GM, Monty Awesome for it, came out and said that they expect him to be on the team. They're trying to move forward with him as a Cardinal. He doesn't expect him to be traded before the end of the draft. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean anything, but I mean, he's still out there, is all I'm saying. So, I mean, the fact that four wide receivers just went off the board in a row doesn't mean that the Chiefs can't potentially make a push still for new Hopkins.
I mean, if you think about it from the Cardinals' perspective, if they didn't like the trade offers pre-draft, if they didn't think that they were getting value or whatever the case may be, they could have said, okay, that's fine. We'll wait on it. And if one of you guys that wanted Nuke now doesn't get a wide receiver that you want, like, you'll come back and your price is going to be a little bit better than it was pre-draft. So, I mean, they might be playing a little hardball, hard to say. The Jags got a fourth rounder from the Bills to swap 25 and 27 with the Bills.
It's interesting how many like short traded ups we've had in this draft. I mean,
one and two so far.
We've seen a lot of, it's interesting. It's fascinating because this obviously is a draft where there doesn't seem to have been a lot of consensus about which players are actually good. You know, we've heard a lot of people say, and it seems like people say this everywhere, but, oh, we've only got 15 guys with first round grades this year. And obviously there's 31 players that are going to be picked in the first round. It's interesting because, you know, the Bills board probably looks completely different from the Jags board and probably different from the Chiefs board. So it just is interesting to see what they're going to do here. I would love it if the Bills would take, I don't know. Let them take wide receiver 5. Let them take running back 3 here.
But yeah, Jalen Hyatt would be fine, right?
They're probably gonna take a defensive player here.
Dalton Kincaid.
What if they took Kincaid?
Well,
I don't love that. I mean, let's hope that he's not Travis Kelce.
Yeah, like that's not even really about like who I want.
That's his number one comp.
Yeah, well, you know, if you can't beat
him, Travis Kelce. That's what everybody compares Dalton Kincaid to, which doesn't mean that he's going to be Travis Kelce, obviously.
But he plays like him, and they've been.
Nobody's Travis Kelce.
No, of course not. But good on Buffalo. They're, you know, that's.
Yeah, that's a good. That's a good, solid pick. It's interesting. Like I said, might be the best pass catcher in this draft, and they needed one. So, yeah, you know, four wide receivers come off the board, they zigged.
Shout out some of our commenters. We still got our guys OU Sass, Wesley Williams, and Trashman in here. We've also got Jim Wood, and earlier I saw caught another name in the chat room. I think that's been it so far. So I appreciate you guys for hanging out with us. It's been a little, I guess, spotty YouTube. It's been some buffering and stuff. So appreciate you hanging
out. Yeah, just on your end. You've cut out a couple of little manas.
When it buffers, you cut out for me and I cut out for you. That's how it goes. But
that's how buffering works. Whatever.
That's how it goes. But yeah, it's been, this has been a really disappointing, in my opinion, last like 5 picks or so. I mean, the four wide
since
receivers,
we logged on, maybe we should log off.
Well, I mean, the 20 is where, you're right. Yeah. So 18 and 19 was Jack Campbell and Kalijah Kancey, which meant nothing. But then starting at 20, right, it's been pretty rough.
Yeah. But we still have got, I mean, there's still a lot of good players here, especially if, you know, it might be interesting to see if there was a little run on tight ends now, because while I certainly would not be opposed to the Chiefs taking a tight end, you know, Travis Kelce's not getting any younger. I also wouldn't necessarily be opposed to there being a little miniature run on tight ends, which would push obviously Smith, Porter, Miles Murphy, Brian Branch down the board.
I mean, I think Michael Meyer and Darnell Washington going before the Chiefs pick. Like, those two guys go, that would be a pretty helpful run for the Chiefs if they're not
probably need to be prepared for the Chiefs to take an unsexy player, because all the Cyrus, I mean, not all the sexy players, I mean, Nolan Smith and Joey Porter Jr. and Miles Murphy and even Michael Mayer, who's probably the best overall tight end in this class, not quite as polished as Kincaid as a pass catcher, but can actually block.
How do you feel about
I would like Brissy. I mean, I think like getting another interior pass rusher to pair with Chris, I think it would be formidable. I mean, like, I think what we've seen with Chris is, like, obviously he's coming off, in my opinion, his best season, which is a high bar for him. But I think like what we saw this year is interior pressure for the Chiefs unlocks a lot of things on the edge. And last year when they lost to the Bengals, Chris was still amazing, but he wasn't quite as amazing as he was this past season. And the Chiefs also didn't have the bodies on the edge. I mean, Frank Clark, and obviously then having Carlos Dunlap in there, having George Karloftis in there, just having more bodies on the edge. I mean, like, they don't have to be great players. Now, if they get a great player, like if they get a Miles Murphy or a Nolan Smith here, it's not going to hurt. It's not going to hurt to have more edge talent, right? But getting another interior pass rusher is not something that would bother me at all, especially with, I mean, not that he could replace Chris Jones. Nobody can replace Chris Jones. But Chris Jones, you know, the Chiefs are going to need to negotiate a new contract for him, and he's obviously, I think he's 28. So, you know, he's getting up there in age as well. So that would be an interesting pick. I mean, at this point, we should talk about who we would be uncomfortable. I mean, do we want to even speak that into existence? Do we want to even? Are you muted? I can't hear you. Is this the joys of doing it live? Your mouth is moving, but I can't hear what you're saying. Oh no, are we going to have to restart the stream? Okay, well, you work in tech support. I'll keep talking here. Obviously, we've talked about with a couple of different people on the show, you know, our draft guys coming on here, some of the guys that we would be uncomfortable with. Obviously, Keon White, who is in Kansas City. I haven't been looking at the stream, so I don't know if they like keep panning the camera over to him. I doubt it. But oh, you're back. You left. Yeah. You left on my Keon White joke. Okay,
unplugged my mic, plugged it back in. That's
yeah, perfect. So there you go. Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, I think DeJuan Jones at this point. Sorry, I was saying players that I don't want. I actually would be comfortable with DeJuan Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Keon White is probably the one that I'm maybe most concerned about at this point. I'm not a super big Jalin Hyatt guy. The Tennessee offense was really weird and gimmicky, and those guys basically, the way they schemed that offense up, they basically never had to play against press ever.
Also
which
feels
is
a bit of a reach there where we're drafting for Jalin Hyatt.
It does. It does. And I mean, he's really fast.
So is Mecole Hardman.
Exactly. Not every fast guy is good. Obviously, every time you draft a fast guy, you want him to be Tyreek. But there's only one Tyreek, and the Chiefs have drafted. They've drafted fast guys and brought in fast guys that aren't Tyreek. So
it's a good point.
I don't know. It's interesting. Who do we have on the clock right now? It's the Cowboys.
Yes, yes. The Bills traded up in front of the Cowboys because they expected that the Cowboys were also going to go tight end.
Take Kincaid. Sure, that makes sense. And they still could.
Yeah, but the Cowboys also apparently like Meyer a lot, and so. Maybe that trade worked out for the Cowboys just fine, and the Bills got who they wanted, and the Cowboys will get who they wanted, and the Bills just basically hand a fourth round pick for that's the other funny thing about trading up two spots when, you know, if the other team is like, actually, you didn't take the guy I wanted, then like you're just handing out draft picks to people.
Yeah,
like,
you're just giving the draft picks for free.
Here's a fourth round pick.
That, I know.
I mean, you know. A lot of the players on the Chiefs Super Bowl winning roster were for fourth round or later, like fourth round picks and on. The hit rate obviously is not nearly what it is early on, but like those are guys, those can be guys, and these teams just give them away like candy. It's wild.
The Bills just signed Dawson Knox to a 4-year, $54 million contract like last year.
Yeah,
so that's. I mean, it's a choice. It's interesting.
I mean, they've seen the Chiefs run two tight end stuff. They've seen other. Sure. I mean,
they have.
And as you said, Dalton Kincaid is a pass catcher. And if they want to split him out wide and do some stuff with him that's not traditional tight end stuff, I mean, they'll figure it out. The one thing about the Bills, you know, they're just the scramble around, fuck it, and find a guy open and throw it to him offense. They are not really, you know, a scripted, like methodical. Like we've seen that. Especially the last year with that offense. And so if you just get a big body that can run out there and then when Josh Allen's running around and you know, strips, I mean, four guys don't sack him and then he can just huck it deep, like Kincaid seems like a pretty decent option for that offense.
We got to – so this is where things get a little bit concerning. Obviously, either Murphy or Nolan Smith would be great gets for the Chiefs here, but we still have – 5 picks to go in front of the Chiefs. And the real problem with that is that 2 of those teams are the Bengals and the Jags, who are rivals. I mean, like, I don't know. We can't put the Jags in that category yet, but the Bengals.
I mean, if you play
Bengals are like,
if you play a team in the playoffs, like they're on your radar. They're certainly on your radar. It doesn't mean that, you know.
And the Jags played this close in the regular season.
Hell
too.
Yeah, they did. I mean, the Jags are a good team. I think anybody that's sleeping on a guy, you know, or a team that has the number one overall pick and a good coach and some good players, like they're a solid squad. And so, yes, you're right. Of the 4 remaining picks between where the Bills just went and when the Chiefs are going to go, if 2 of those are teams that the Chiefs are jockeying for playoff position and they get guys that the Chiefs are looking for, like you said, Murphy and Smith, if those guys both go off the board and then they're looking at, you know, it'd be great if some positions go like a guard here, like that would be excellent if like Osiris Torrance gets picked, someone that the Chiefs just have no interest at all in.
Sure.
But until
Chiefs don't need a guard.
No, certainly not.
Let's throw a little shade here really quick because this is something that I feel like as podcasters do extremely well. It's part of our brand. So
always sunny in Chiefs Kingdom, but it's always shady in every other kingdom. So
we're always putting shade on the other kingdoms. We are the only kingdom. In fact, it's always countries and nations stupid shit like that. The Cleveland Browns 2 minutes ago, and this is by far the least cringy thing that they've tweeted this evening. You guys want to see some real cringy stuff, go to the Cleveland Browns. At Browns is their handle on Twitter.
Sure.
They just tweeted 2 minutes ago, you up, at Broncos, at Rams, at Miami Dolphins, at 49ers. So those are our five teams that aren't picking in the first round. Let's go through these really quickly and just tick out the reasons why these teams aren't picking in the first round, because it is hilarious, actually. The Cleveland Browns are not picking in the first round because they traded three first-round picks for Deshaun Watson.
Rapist.
Again, very cringy. They tweeted out about an hour ago, God our guy, with a video of Deshaun Watson, who, in addition to being a rapist, was awful at quarterback last year. So pretty cringe.
Somebody compared his QBR to his number of accusers, and they're very, very, very close. Like
It's not good at all.
He's not good anymore.
That's not good. The Broncos, of course, traded their picks for Russell Wilson. They had then a second first round pick because they traded away their pass rusher. What was his name? I've already forgotten. Bradley Chubb. Thank you. To the Dolphins. And then promptly gave that pick away for Sean Payton, who, did you see? You see the video?
Smoking a bong?
Allegedly of him taking a hit on a bong. I mean, it looked like him. I mean, it's legal. Yeah. It's legal, but it's also like, I don't want my NFL coach to be doing bong hits with some random bros wherever the fuck he is in the middle of the draft. I mean, we don't know when the video was taken. Anyway, you heard it here. If you haven't seen it on Twitter already, just search for Sean Payton bong and you'll get a nice little. Is that the pick for the Cowboys? Interesting.
Yeah. So they didn't go tight end.
He's a good player, but
Not a guy I was.
Not a guy that was necessarily on my radar. Like, I think I would have preferred Breesy of those two guys. So, I mean, he's not the top defensive tackle even on our board.
We've got him 42 overall and like
the, yeah. And Breesy 31. So, you know, same position. We have Breesy a little bit higher on the consensus board here. The Broncos, obviously ridiculous. The Rams, at least of the teams on this list,
won a Super Bowl.
At least they got a ring out of it, but they got Stafford, who didn't play last year, and then they ended up with the sixth overall pick, which went to somebody else. That's what's crazy about these. The Browns pick was top 10, and the Texans, obviously, it was 12. The Texans had it. You know, the Broncos had a top, what was the Broncos pick? To the Seahawks. They had the fifth overall pick. The Seahawks had it. They had to trade. Ended up trading the fifth overall pick to the Seahawks for Russ, They didn't have a pick last year, and they didn't have this pick this year. The Rams at least got a ring out of it. The Dolphins didn't get anything out of it because they lost the pick for tampering.
Yeah, right.
They should have worked out a resolution
with the Bucs,
like the Eagles and the Cardinals did. They should have just negotiated a settlement, wherein they at least got a pick back in return for tampering.
Someone in the chat said, can you lawyer this for us?
No, I can't. Yeah. I don't understand it. It's like the legal analogy would be like if we're like in front of the judge and the judge is about to sentence me for a crime. And then I was like, no, it's cool. I worked something out with this guy, with the victim, like out in the hallway, and like, you're going to sentence me to probation. Well,
doesn't
now.
That?
And I paid him.
Where the victim would drop charges.
Well, okay, I know it's not like.
But I mean, in
it's
the
not
NFL.
A perfect. It's not a perfect metaphor, because obviously, we do work out plea deals all the time.
That was Zylstra, by the way, that asked this. But like,
that's in the a good NFL, question, though.
There is a victim team in tampering, whereas
there is
a lot of other.
But they aren't really actually victimized, though, because in this case, I mean, the Eagles lose Jonathan Gannon, but like he was going somewhere. And also being Jonathan Gannon, it ended up not being a huge loss for them anyway. Explosives.
Yeah, do that.
Clock here. But anyway, these teams, the last one on that list is the 49ers. Effectively trying to trade so that they can start. It's fine. Don't get me wrong. Like, he's okay. And he was undefeated in the regular season. And the only game he lost was the game where he blew out his elbow against the Super Bowl losing NFC champion Philadelphia Eagles. But, like, the guy was literally the last pick of the draft. and you traded three first-round picks
yep.
to get this other guy that you benched for the last pick in the draft. That's problematic. That's a problematic use of resources. All of these teams are, at least they, you know, at least they were in the NFC Championship game. I mean, it's not like they're a bad team by any means. They've got a great roster, but like, yikes. Well, yeah. big swing and a miss there.
Yeah, they're really interesting just from a roster construction standpoint, obviously picking up CMC, just doing a lot of the different going big on defense and I just find their whole situation fascinating. When you're in the NFC, you can kind of screw around. Like you can kind of be like a defense and running and like do some of that crazy stuff because like it doesn't really matter. They were still in the NFC Championship game with a third string quarterback. They still, you know, it's just the AFC, you can't afford to do it. You've got to build your team to beat these other, you know, it's an arms race in the AFC, a literal arms race. And
right.
in the NFC, like all these teams that are there now, like it won't surprise me. Any team that comes out of the NFC, literally 1 through 16, would not surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if the Panthers won the NFC next year. Like, you know, there's just nothing there that scares me. So I...
Anton Harrison to the Jags, offensive tackle. And he's still a good player, decent player.
Sure, but again, not a guy that would have...
Where was he on our board?
Well, he had already gone.
Oh. What?
Yeah, I think you're reading old news. That was the Jags pick at 24 when they traded with the Giants. So, yeah, he was the Oklahoma tackle that went at 24. So after Dallas goes at 27, he...
Why does my... okay.
Well, what board are you looking at?
I was looking at Twitter, but then I'm looking at Deontay Banks. Was the Giants pick. They traded up and took Banks, the corner. So I guess Anton Harrison was still on the board. I think you might have prematurely crossed him off of our... big board.
I see tweets that say he went... Oh, that's really interesting.
Huh.
That the Jags picked him, but picked him at 24. So there must have been a leak that the Jags wanted him or were going to pick him.
Interesting,
or
yeah, sure.
But it didn't...
Well, they got him. They traded down twice, and they got their guy.
That makes more sense because that trade was really weird because now it makes sense that they were trading 28 and 24 instead of 25 and 24. 25 and 24 really wasn't tracking with me on that
gotcha.
One.
Gotcha. So. Well, they get Anton Harrison. Good player. Good pass blocker. I mean, he was, again, we already talked about him because we thought that he went off the board earlier, but probably the last offensive tackle that I would have considered to kind of be in that first round, you know, group that would have been, you know, acceptable to me. I'm starting to get a little bit worried that we might not pick tonight. Like I'm
trade back.
I'm wondering if we might trade back because I do think I would be stunned if a team doesn't come up to get Will Levis. Like we heard for weeks and weeks. Now he wasn't great last year, but we had so many people telling us that, you know, NFL teams like Will Levis more than the general public does, and they really like his tape from 2 years ago, and they love how he's played in a pro-style offense, and they, you know, he scored really high on the S2 test, and he's got this huge arm. I would be stunned if he did not go in the first round, and we only have four picks left in the first round at this point. We've got the Bengals, the Saints, the Eagles, and the Chiefs.
And think about the fifth-round option comes into play so much more often with quarterbacks than it does any other.
And Hendon Hooker was also a guy that was mentioned as a possible first round pick. We've only got four picks left.
Exactly. And so when you want to lock in a first round quarterback, you know, that fifth year option is a big chip on that in that contract. And so yeah, I do think there will be a couple people that are going to talk to both the Eagles at 30 and the Chiefs at 31 about, you know, what's it worth you guys to not pick a guy in the first round. Now, you've got the whole, like, 100,000 people down at Union Station right now ready to celebrate a first-round selection for the Chiefs. I know that shouldn't matter. I do think someone in the front office, whether that's Brett Veach or Clark Hunt or someone, at least is going to sit there and go, can we do that with that crowd out there? Can we trade away the pick? But, you know, those people should understand that this is a business, and that was always going to be a possibility when you went downtown, that the Chiefs were never going to pick in the first round. And
those people are going to get a Fall Out Boy concert as soon as the draft is over. So, you know,
is that supposed to help?
I mean, you know, it's yeah. It's Fall Out Boy. I think tomorrow it's Motley Crue, and Saturday it's somebody else.
Yeah, was it Tech N9ne Saturday, or I forget?
I think Tech N9ne was not. He's showing up, but I think he's going to be at the Kelce Music Festival.
We haven't even talked, by the way,
about the New Heights live show, and what an absolute trip that was. If any of you went to that, feel free to DM us any of your little clandestine videos that you took there. But that was hilarious. I mean, we had Travis picking up Roger Goodell and giving him a hug. Obviously, them juking everybody out, announcing the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, and it was Chad Henne. But then it was still Patrick Mahomes. He still showed up. Uh-huh. And then Jason shaving his head and letting Travis sign him as an adult baby. He was wearing a diaper, and that was, man, it was amazing. Extreme. I mean, it just was – it was wild. I hope they release the audio from that. You know, often when people are doing live shows, like we're kind of doing here a little bit, like, hey, give us some audio from that. I would love to listen to it. I would love to partake in it. But for those of you that got to see that, I'm sure it was just an absolute trip.
I was trying to trace back.
The Bengals are getting Miles Murphy.
Yeah. Fucking Bengals.
Man. That's a good pick for the Bengals.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a bummer.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, that's one of the guys. That's one of the guys that would have been exciting at this point on the board. It's not.
You
the
can't
only
expect
guy.
Them to do stupid stuff. I mean, they're a good football team, and they make good decisions.
But it's not the end of the world. Just kind of and especially with being the Bengals. I mean, I think we were hoping that if anyone would swing and a miss in the last 5, 6, 7 picks, it was going to be them. Like, even if all the other teams had good picks, like the Bengals are certainly the number one AFC. I know I said I'd put the Ravens number one in the North. I still feel, just swag wise, just vibe wise, like the Bengals are, you know, a lot to handle right now. And
this is interesting. According to our buddy Charles Goldman over at Chiefs Wire, according to a new report, the Cowboys declined an offer to trade down with the Chiefs in the first round. So the Chiefs had their designs set on moving up to 27, where the Cowboys picked. It could have been Anton Harrison. It could have been Miles Murphy, who ended up going with the next two picks there. I wonder if we'll get a sense, if we'll probably leak out after the draft, I'm sure, of who
we were thinking of,
who the Chiefs wanted and who they were trying to take. I hope, if it was Miles Murphy, for our sakes, that doesn't leak out, because I do not want the Bengals fan base to be able to do to us
what we did to the Bills,
which I don't want.
Highly enjoyable.
Now, the Chiefs media team would not be foolish enough to put out a video of their draft room from the instant they got the word that
crazy.
You know, it was crazy. I can't believe they did that, but. So the Bengals go with Miles Murphy off the board. He was the edge two left on the board. We still have Nolan Smith. He does have some medical issues.
Mm-hmm.
And you always have to wonder when guys with his talent are sliding this late on day one of the draft. I mean, he was our consensus number 13 player overall. You have to wonder if that plays into it. Now, at a certain point, you take a flyer on a guy that has, you know, some injury risk, because you want to bet on the talent. And especially if you're going to take him. I mean, there's kind of two schools of thought, I would say, with that kind of situation. You have a guy like Trey Smith, who fell all the way to the sixth round, which obviously is preposterous value for being one of the best right guards in the league, which is what he's been since day one, really. But the other school of thought there is, if you get him at 31, the last pick of the first round, and you get the fifth-year option, you know, you can afford to redshirt him a year, potentially, and still get a screaming value, assuming he comes back healthy and you're able to get him in with your medical staff and, you know, get him to a point where you feel confident about his health. Obviously, the Chiefs are – we've seen them take swings on guys in the draft and as undrafted free agents, Justin Ross. We'll see how that pans out. But we've seen them. Right, exactly. We've seen them take some guys with some injury risks and have that pan out for them. So it would be really interesting to see if that's going to remain a possibility for the Chiefs. But we can't count our chickens because we still have a few picks to go.
And the other thing
about still on the board,
taking it slow with a guy is you don't have to necessarily bench him the whole year, do a college redshirt with him, right? Like you
can
if a guy has medical, you know, issues, you can just say like, okay, we'll take it as slow as you need to go. We'll give you, you know, a token couple snaps for the first 6-7 games or whatever, like just really ease him into the NFL and not feel like you have to throw him into the wolves day one and go out there. And I mean, yeah, so you definitely could afford that. So let's play this. Three picks now, two picks and then the Chiefs left on the board. 29, yep. 30, Chiefs.
Yep.
Let's pick three players, and best case scenario is the Chiefs get one of those three players. So okay. I'll pick one, you'll pick one, and then we'll kind of decide on the third one together. Sure. So obviously, I mean, we just talked about him, and I think Nolan Smith would still be worthwhile at pick 31. I think that's good value. I think that's a guy that if we got him, it's easy to spin that was a great pickup for the Chiefs as an edge defender that was at times rumored to go as high as number 2 or 3 overall in the draft.
He's not going to make it past the Eagles. If we want him, we're going to have to trade up. I swear to fuck Howie is going to take him at 30.
You're certainly right about that. So I'll go Nolan Smith as my player of the three picks left that I would be excited if the Chiefs had him. You can go ahead and pick a player.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, as good as the Chiefs cornerback room looks right now, I think Joey Porter Jr. is the value. Man, I mean, I think like he's our cornerback 3, I think, on our big board, which is amazing. I mean, to get cornerback 3 in a cornerback class as talented as this, you have to understand this is a really good cornerback class.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and for him to be the third cornerback on our big board, a guy with that pedigree, I mean,
15th overall.
Think about, and I'm not saying that all these guys are created equal. They're not. They're all different kinds of players. But think about the guys, you know, we mentioned Asante Samuel Jr. Earlier in this podcast. Patrick Surtain, the second.
Yes.
You know, like these guys, these DBs with this NFL pedigree. I mean, like those guys, that you know, all of the guys that we watched growing up as old timers, their kids are going into the NFL. And they've been cool player, but would fill a need for the Chiefs. He's very physical. I mean, like he would be. I mean, Spags would love that guy. So he would be my pick. And then you know, as far as consensus, I would say for us, like I'll just throw a couple of names out there. Yeah. I mean, I think Michael Mayer, Brian Branch, tight end, safety, and then probably Brian Breesy, defensive tackle. None of those guys are sexy picks, but those are. I mean, you're talking about the first or second best player at each of those positions, arguably, in the draft, and you're getting them at 31. Now, the reason they're still there is because they're not necessarily premium positions, but...
How would you feel about FAU? Felix Anudike Uzama. Let's say Nolan Smith goes to the Eagles, and FAU's the best edge on the board, probably left.
I mean, I'd love it. My dad is a huge K-State fan, and obviously it would be a ton of fun for the K-State fans there. K-State had an amazing...
He grew up in Kansas City.
This year, sure. I mean, like, it would be fun. I guess, like, this is totally unfair because the Royals...
Don't say that. We're having such a good time.
I know, but I was thinking about... you know, the local kid that they took a couple of years ago who committed to Nebraska as the quarterback, and I'm blanking on his name. I literally was just thinking about him yesterday.
Center fielder, eye issues. Bubba
Bad
Starling.
Bubba.
Bubba Starling, but I forgot.
Let's be honest. We're pretty checked out on the Royals right now. We're doing a live show about the NFL draft. It's forgivable that we could forget about Bubba. It's not fair, but I feel like it's tough when you're taking a local kid like that. There's just so much pressure on that pick to perform. He's obviously a really good player, but he's not necessarily
Breesy,
the prototypical.
Saints.
I bet you $1 million that the Eagles are going to take
Nolan Smith. $1 million. You heard it here, folks.
It's literally, it's going to be Nolan Smith. There's no chance. They're going to get Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith. And I mean, they're going to run the NFC for a thousand years.
Right.
They might not win that many Super Bowls because whoever comes out of the AFC every year is going to be a juggernaut forged in the fires of Mount Doom. But like, they're going to win the NFC like every year. It just is. And we've talked about this on the podcast before. Like, when you are in a conference with not that much talent separating the bottom from the top, that means that none of the teams bottom out. None of them are going to go 1-16.
Nope.
The teams that are the worst are going to be in the AFC because they have to play the good teams in the AFC. Correct. So,
just like you this know, year when the Colts and the Texans got franchise quarterbacks in the top four because they were shitty last year because they had to go up against a bunch of AFC good teams. Yeah, you're right. So the Eagles are going to be sitting there in the NFC, and their biggest competition is going to be who's the second best team in the NFC after the Eagles?
Cowboys, maybe?
Maybe. Mate.
I mean, I like Mozzie Smith. You know, adding a DT to that defensive line is obviously really good pass rush there. The Niners.
Yeah, probably the Niners. And if that's your argument,
their quarterback blew out his arm. Their quarterback was the last pick in the draft and blew out his arm. And so, like,
and there's no telling if Brock Purdy was on a heater.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Number one, I'm not confident that he's good. And number two, he's injured. So, like,
right.
It might not matter for them because they've been able to just plug in whoever the fuck to play quarterback. And for the most part, they've been completely fine.
Messing around like, the NFC.
Other than those two, I mean, those are the three teams. Like, the next best team by record in the NFC was the Vikings, who had a negative point differential. So they're
obviously not good.
And, you know, I'd love to be able to say the Lions, but the Lions unrestored the roar by taking a running back and a linebacker in the top 20. It's an absurd draft.
They're like, they don't understand. They don't need to tank anymore. Like, now go, but
they don't. And honestly, like I don't remember who I was replying to the other day, but they really wanted to take, like, their fan base was really excited about the possibility of taking Bijan, and like it kind of makes sense because the last time the Lions won the playoff game, Barry Sanders was on the team, and it's like the last time you won anything. We had Barry Sanders. That's like the key to winning in the NFL. We just need the next Barry Sanders because you know you're stuck 30 years ago in the past. You've been suspended in that reality for 30 years.
Well, maybe that's Jahmyr Gibbs.
Maybe it is. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs is a good player, but
he better be. When you're drafting him eighth, he better be a good player.
Right, exactly. 12.
Bijan went eighth. Yeah, that's right.
They're going to take Nolan Smith, I'm certain. And
or I'm going to get $1 million one way or the other.
Yeah.
Just cut that part out. Cut.
It's going to be interesting to see. Well, the problem with having a live audience is that there are witnesses. You're me making the $1 million bet. I've said some dumb things on our draft show before, and you know, immediately.
I wasn't going to bring it up because it seems like our audience has let it go and hasn't held you accountable.
Let's just move past it. Let's move it.
So we're waiting one pick, and then the Chiefs are on the clock.
Unless they trade down, which again, at this point, really would not surprise me.
It would make sense.
I think that. Number one, assuming the Eagles take Nolan Smith, which I, again, would be floored if they did not. But at that point, like, the board is what it is. Like, you don't have an obvious choice to take. I mean, maybe Joey Porter Jr., maybe Michael Mayer. But not an obvious pick out of the remaining board. Plus, you could call around for somebody that wants Levis.
And the Eagles might be doing that.
Right or Hendon Hooker, and the Eagles might be doing that right now. They might be,
and that would work out fine for the Chiefs. If
that would also be a very Howie thing to do.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. If right now Levis goes 30, and the Chiefs can either have their pick on the current board, which does include Nolan Smith. I mean, there are still some guys here that would that would work out and be a lot of fun. Joey Porter, that would be a lot of fun. It's really surprising to me that between Nolan Smith, Joey Porter, and Will Levis, one of those guys is not going to be a first-round pick.
Yeah, that's surprising.
That's really surprising.
To show that we don't know anything.
No, and we don't. Know, they were 13, 15, and 16 on our big board. And
you know who picks first tomorrow, courtesy of the Bears trading the 32nd overall pick for Chase Claypool, is the Steelers.
The Steelers,
So the Steelers could have Joey Porter Jr. tomorrow after they pass.
They would love that.
And obviously, if the Steelers go to bed tonight with Joey Porter Jr. still on the board,
Nolan
the first
Smith.
Pick tomorrow.
You nailed it.
I mean, you owe me $1 million?
I don't think that's how it works.
I was prepared to accept. And you were prepared to accept $1 million. So
I think
that is a binding oral contract. Of course they did it. And so now the Chiefs are on the clock.
Yeah. That's interesting. The Eagles are they mean business. They mean business. They understand their window. They understand that they just locked up their quarterback. They have a nasty defense. They've got playmakers. They've got everything you need. They've got everything you need. They have no competition, which is another thing that Tom Brady will tell you you absolutely need to win a bunch of Super Bowls.
You need
no competition around you, and they don't have any. So, you know, go all in, guys. Go try and win a ring. You got to get past the champs in order to do it, but good luck to you. I obviously am into the Eagles. I like
them. Yeah, totally. And we've talked about this a lot, and obviously us beating them head to head just has strengthened our love for the Eagles. Like, they gave us Super Bowl. So good for the Eagles. Imagine being a fan of an NFC team that isn't the Eagles. Obviously, it's still a better situation being in the AFC. You'd still rather be, like the Bucks than the Broncos. At least, you've only got to get past one team, but like, you got to get past Howie and Jalen Hurts and, it's Nick Sirianni and just a mega roster that they've assembled, an absolute death star there. They've got the best quarterback in the NFC now, like pretty comfortably, right? Like, Jalen Hurts is the best quarterback in the NFC.
Year last year. And I mean, there's really no competition for it.
Who would even be close? I mean, yeah.
Tyler.
Right. Sure.
Cousins. There is none, especially with Rodgers going to the Jets. I mean, that solidified it.
The argument was
Rodgers or Hurts, and now it's Hurts.
Right.
That's it.
Right. Well, the Chiefs are on the clock at 31. Let's see what we do.
We will prepare a lot of write-ups that we have a ton of stuff from our friends. You know, our big board right now, just to shout out all the people's
hard work
that we're using. KCSN, ESPN Mel Kiper. I'm not really shouting him out, but he does this every year.
He doesn't need our shout-outs.
Dane Brugler, PFF. Those are our kind of big board consensus guys that we're using to figure out. But then we'll have scouting reports, including from our guy Dan Harms at RGR Football. They have a great all their write-up on their draft guide is really, really good. And then obviously we're going to talk about the relative athletic score of the player that the Chiefs draft. So, I mean, a lot of fun information coming up with whichever player this ends up being. It's just, I guess who's your number one right now? If Nolan Smith is now off the board, we talked about a couple of those other guys. I think my number one wish would probably be Joey Porter. I think a cornerback paired with Trent McDuffie, two young cornerbacks in an AFC that you know has quarterbacks all over the place.
Yeah. Yep. I agree with that. Build from the back end. And obviously, you know, having coverage is going to let you build up your pass rush. Joey Porter Jr. would be my preference here. Michael Mayer would actually probably be my number two, and then probably Brian Branch. I mean, those are the top three guys on our consensus board here. Darnell Washington would be really interesting. He's our TE3.
He's gigantic.
And he's obviously a monster. Move him to left tackle, I guess.
That's pretty good.
I mean, but in all seriousness, you know, any of those guys, I think I would be fine with a trade down here. Although I would feel horrible for the people, you know, out.
I would too.
The draft, you know,
they've been
out
there
Union
since
Station,
5 o'clock. It's 11
yeah.
o'clock now, and
sure.
Matt Lombardo points out that the Eagles in the past two drafts have drafted Georgia players: Jordan Davis, Nickobe Dean, Jalen Carter, and Nolan Smith.
The entire Georgia defense,
and I mean, if you're going to draft from a team,
and N'Kobe Dean, they took falling. I mean, N'Kobe Dean was projected as a first round pick. I think they got him in the third or fourth round because he had some medical concerns and he didn't really make it onto the field. But, you know, if he's healthy, he'd be a good player. Jordan Davis fell maybe a little bit. Obviously, Jalen Carter fell and Nolan Smith fell. So they got all these guys at a significant discount from where they were projected to go. And, you know, that's how you build a good roster, man. They're a good football team. So, you know, I think Joey Porter Jr. is my preferred pick here. You're not going to get him. You're not going to get him if you don't take him here, because I bet you a second $1 million, double or nothing, that if Joey Porter Jr. is on the board when Pittsburgh picks tomorrow at the start of the second round, that there's no way that they would pass.
Okay, who's the one you're worried about in this kind of this?
Keon White. Keon White still. Now, I will say Keon White is a guy that I mean Charles, I think Dan and certainly Craig, when we talked to him, all express concerns about Keon White. I will say, Keon White, so from what I've heard, he has done really well on the S2 and on some of the cognitive performance tests, is what I have heard from my sources. And I think the Chiefs value that, but you also have to understand, I mean, he's an older player. He's still pretty raw. I think everything that I've heard suggests that he's very smart, but he's still pretty raw and he's an older player. And, you know, I mean, it just would be hard to get excited about that, especially when you've got, you know, a guy like Joey Porter on the board, when you had a chance potentially at a guy like Nolan Smith. I mean, Michael Mayer at this point too would be fun. I mean, like, he just is he's the best all round tight end in this class. He's not as good a pass catcher as Dalton Kincaid, but he's a much better blocker.
Sure.
I mean, you know, would give the Chiefs better a lot size of
fun options
on
offense.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think I think if they were trading back, we would have known by now.
Right? I think we would too.
They're on the clock, I think so too. And I feel like someone would have said someone else is on the clock by now. So I think we're going to get a name here soon.
Yeah, I think we will too. It's going to be interesting. I'm glad that the Chiefs have been saved from the possibility of going with Will McDonald, who went 15 to the Jets. He was a guy that the Chiefs were linked to that I know Craig was also not excited about when we talked to him.
Obviously,
Jahmyr Gibbs, who I think will be a good player, but I'm glad that we don't.
You can't decline Clyde's fifth-year option the same year you draft a running back at the same spot
you
drafted Clyde.
No.
You just can't do it.
You cannot. You can't do it.
It would have been malpractice, so...
You have to learn from the mistakes of the past, the recent past. So we're on the clock. We're waiting for the Chiefs to make our pick. We had to wait all the way until pick 31. You know, it's nice, though, to be the last team drafting. It's the second time in four years that we get to appreciate the last pick of the draft, the last pick of the first round of the draft. And just looking forward a little bit, we are not going to do... We're not going to do anything for the rest of the weekend, but we'll be back next week and we'll talk about everybody the Chiefs pick over the weekend.
Which is a blast. I mean, that's...
It is. It's great. Really, I mean, that's always one of my favorite shows of the year. And
yes.
We're talking about this before we came on live. You know, we're not watching college football every weekend and we're not grinding a ton of tape for these guys. So for us... What's fun about this is the joy of discovering, you know, who these guys are and what they're about, and then, you know, sharing that with you guys. So we're excited.
Who I remember being really excited about last year was Leo Chanel, because relative athletic score, where you're like, the Chiefs drafted the most athletic linebacker of all time. Like, that's fun. Right. Like, it's just or I think he was a 999. Maybe he was certainly.
He was right up there. He was right up there.
So I mean, and that's a guy that, you know, we could have never known who he was before the draft. So. I think this is just a really interesting time to be a fan. It's a really interesting time to be adding, you know, you can kind of just squint and hope at all these guys. You can see, you know, that's the other thing, is when these guys are all picked, everybody goes, oh, this is the type of player he's going to be in the NFL. He's going to give him this. He's going to, like, nah, you guys don't know any of this. Like, these are lottery picks the lottery tickets that all these teams are pulling right now, where, like, hopefully these players will turn into, you know, half the player they were in college, and all these teams right. are thrilled, but it's just not going to happen. A lot of these first round picks that we're all saying, oh my God, I wish we got, like, they're just not going to do anything in the NFL. That's how the NFL draft goes.
The Lombardi trophies are out for the Chiefs pick, so that's exciting. But we've got a pick in, according to Brandon Zenner, is the first person I've seen. Don't know who it is yet. I know. I'm surprised by that too. But you know, who would, you know, we know who's going to be, the Chiefs would have to be the ones leaking it. And I guess, you know, I mean, if you're hosting the draft, I could see them not, you know, wanting it to get out of the draft room just so that, you know, you get a true legitimate reaction from the crowd. But here we go. Chiefs have a pick. They're not trading back, and we know it's not going to be Will Levis, so he's not going to be a first rounder. Unless they take him as a backup, that would
be sure. Well, freaking Chris Collinsworth said that they were going to take
Hooker.
Hooker here.
He did, and that's obviously board. It's an absurd premise, but
Felix
it could come
Sanders
true.
Dikeuzama!
FAU. Oh
yes,
my God,
the crowd
must be going insane for that.
That's awesome.
I mean,
I really
that's fun.
Him.
That's really fun. It is fun. And, you know, it's cool because, like I said, really, really my only reservation with that pick was he's not a prototypical Spags guy. But that's great because it shows growth. And you know what?
You have to have a prototypical guy.
Yes, exactly. Growth is exciting. And honestly, I think it shows a lot of development from the way that the Chiefs coaching staff, it just shows that they're being adaptable. And the way that you coach defense in the NFL is different from the way Steve Spagnuolo was coaching defense 15 years ago when he played Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. You know, like the kinds of players that are, we're talking about the wide receivers in this class, they're tiny twinks. You know, like everybody in the NFL is getting smaller and faster.
Yeah.
FAU is that kind of guy. I mean, this is just, it's fun. This is great.
Let me read off our great work that everybody's done on our draft guides and all that stuff. So I'm going to start off with KCSN, our guys. He is their edge eight. They had him as, edge eight. And then background, three-star recruit from Lee's Summit High, where he earned first-team All-State as a senior. Strengths, Felix Anudike-Uzomah has an athletic build with long levers and moves with a tenacity that jumps off the screen as a rusher, and his first-step explosion is evident from any alignment, can quickly put offensive tackles into a recovery situation. He was often aligned head-up over offensive tackles, which limited his ability to showcase his speed rush often, but he can use a powerful two-hand swipe and explosive dip-rip move to win on the outside corner. How he fits. Anudike-Uzomah is a super intriguing edge prospect thanks to his bend. This is blend of explosion, power, and hand technique. He is effective against the run, but every team may not be fully on board with his style of run defense. The best part of his profile is that he should be able to contribute early on in the NFL, but there is still a high upside due to a limited number of true rush reps from the outside and what his ceiling might be. So that is their player comp, Melvin Ingram. Team fit was medium. That was
yes. What that's right. I remember the Melvin Ingram comp. And obviously, Melvin Ingram had a short but distinguished career in Kansas City as a Kansas City Chief. So, you know, and he obviously, if the Chiefs had gotten Melvin Ingram in his prime when he was a Charger, I mean, boy, buddy, Melvin Ingram was a great player for the Chargers for a number of years. This is a fun pick. This is really interesting.
It is. Matt Miller, pre-draft analysis. Anudike-Uzomah is a tenacious edge defender who chases the quarterback and pursues the run with relentless effort. As a pass rusher, he can beat offensive tackles with speed, power, and his hands. As a run defender, he has the burst and speed to slip blocks. He also flashes the ability to stack and shed blocks. He is one of the lighter side, or he is on the lighter side and gives up ground at times. However, his comp was Josh Sweat, also a very good player there. ESPN's ranking for Anudike-Uzomah is, just lost my spot. There he goes, Felix. They have him at also edge seven. And so KCSN was edge eight. All right. And then I just want to read The Ringer. This is a great.
Yeah, lay it on me.
Right up on him, relentless, springy edge rusher with long arms and an arsenal of pass rush moves. I mean, these have all been glowing reviews so far. This is by Danny Kelly. He is a stout, burly frame with a muscled up lower half and a long wingspan. Three-star prospect out of Lee's Summit. He was a two-year starter. Okay, same kind of background we got from KCSN. He has quick first step and as a pass rusher, which he pairs with an excellent Euro step inside counter move. He can attack the edge and dip his shoulder to flatten the pocket, ducking under blocks and move the quarterback off his spot. He stays low when he turns turns the corner without stumbling. He uses his arm length to his advantage, throws out a strong long arm at the snap, and control the rep. Why he could rise in the draft, he was a productive pass rusher with good bulk and long arms. He is an ascending playmaker who is still just 21 years old. So he also really, really likes him. And then we're going to go to, real quick, Felix Anudike Uzomah.
You know what I'm a little bit disappointed in?
What?
What's that? This is, we've lived through it with Nick Bolt, former Mizzou graduate, is that as a somebody that does not partake in the factionalism of local collegiate sports,
yeah, you don't. Yeah,
it is extremely difficult for people to be objective.
Yeah.
And just scrolling through my Twitter timeline, I have people that are being like, fuck yeah, this is the best pick ever. And then people are like, oh, this pick sucks.
Yeah, right.
Don't like FAU, whatever. Like, I mean, like, get over yourselves. As you said, he's a Kansas City guy. It's fun to get excited about that. Hopefully it goes better than the Bubble Starling situation it did for the Royals. But listen, that was the Royals, and this is the Chiefs. So
yeah.
It's bound to go better.
PFF, Anudike Uzomah is one of the best edge benders in the draft class. He's the type of edge rusher that's going to convert a lot of pressures into sacks because of
this
that.
This is what's so interesting to me is the bendiness because Spags is not a bendy pass rusher guy.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. He's and Frank Clark, I mean, these guys are more power rushers, and now we have a speed rusher, which is exciting. I'm into it.
Of his 89 pressures in the past two seasons, a remarkable 21 of them ended up as sacks. So he's a finisher. He gets the job done. That is,
pairing a speed rusher with Chris Jones, it's fun.
Exactly. Our guy Dan Harms, toolsy feel for the pass rush element with natural ability and sets up moves for later in the game. He has tools to set up the edge consistently, but can guess and lower his head at times and lose the side of the ball. Double teams aren't a great strength, but he's got the upside. So he likes him a lot. He had him as the film rank fourth edge. So he really, really liked FAU on film.
Can't wait to have him on to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, I think of the conversation that we're going to have here about FAU and a lot of these guys is it's going to be really fun.
The conversation that we need to have is how you're going to owe me $2 million after tomorrow night.
Joey Porter goes to the Steelers. Finally, relative athletic score for FAU is an 8.73, which is
really good. 80, yeah, really percentile. Good.
Hand size, 96th percentile. Composite explosion grade is great with a broad jump of the 93rd.8 percentile, vertical 75.6, shuttle 81.1, three cone 95.7. So he is athletic, obviously. This is really exciting. I think this is a guy that, it's just so easy to get why everybody is excited about him. Once again, KCSN 27th overall, 8th for edge, ESPN 32nd overall, 7th for edge, The Ringer 34th overall, 7th for edge.
It's not a reach. Like, this is where he was more or less expected to go, and you know, it's good. It's not screaming value, obviously, if Eagles had passed on Nolan Smith, you know, like that's
certainly.
That's the guy that would have given you outrageous value there. But, you know, it's a reasonable pick in this range. I mean, this is pretty much where he was expected to go, and this is kind of his range. And it's,
and look,
it's
at the board. Pick.
He's 32nd. He's 32nd on our consensus pick. So.
And there was no outrageous value.
And
left.
He was the best edge left on our consensus board as well. If you look at all of our rankings composite. So
that was a guy that I think I identified on one of those most recent pod shows as a guy that I really wanted in the first. I'm thrilled about it. I think that he's going to fit in really nicely. I'm thrilled for him to grow up in Kansas City, play at Kansas State, and then get drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, that just doesn't happen that often, that a guy goes from high school to college to the pros and, you know, stays within a 2-hour drive of all three places.
Yeah, it's just... and imagine if he wins a ring next year. Ooh, you know, I mean, in the next couple of years. Yeah, right. Exactly. When he wins a ring. Before we close this out, we should probably take a look at the board left and just kind of, you know, if there's any guys that you want to kind of shout out here in the second round that you maybe would be interested in. Where are the Chiefs picking? I don't have that information off the top of my head. Let's just take a look.
It's got to be the end of the second.
Right, it is. But let's see. We Chiefs are picking again at at 63, the last pick of the second round.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, for me, I think a guy that I've had that I've heard a lot of people are really into and I kind of like as well is Jonathan Mingo, the wide receiver.
Yes.
I don't know if he's necessarily going to go that high. He's 76 on our consensus board, but he's a guy that I've been hearing a lot of buzz about kind of coming up. Big, fast, athletic player. And, you know, I think a wide receiver would be fun. I mean, the Chiefs got an edge. Yeah. We have been saying for months, like, edge, offensive tackle, wide receiver. That's
I mean, I think Marvin Mims from Oklahoma was a explosive playmaker in college, played in a pro-style offense, really. I mean, you know, once again, I love targeting guys that were from the Big 12, the SEC, the Big 10. I think those, you know, if you played college football in those environments, you know, the learning curve is easier in the pros, all that stuff. So I really like a guy that had a big college workload, and Marvin Mims certainly had that. That would be a lot of fun. We've got him at 67 overall, so kind of sitting there right where that range would be. And, you know, to go for two Big 12 players in their first two picks would be kind of fun for the Chiefs. And that would be everyone's pretty familiar with Marvin Mims in the kingdom. You know, you've also got A.T. Perry and Rashee Rice and some of the guys that were from the smaller schools, Wake and SMU, that they're a little bit later in the board. So that might be like a day two pick, but a third round pick. But I mean,
there's still a lot of depth at some of these positions that we expected there to be depth at. I mean, there's only been one tight end off the board.
Yeah, correct.
No safeties.
No.
So, you know, the Chiefs still have an opportunity to come back and add at those positions if they want. You know, like, I would not be surprised if they had one of these tight end prospects fall to them at the end of the second round. And
boy,
I think
that'd be fun.
That would be a great value if they were able to get a guy like, I mean, dreaming with me a little bit, but like if Darnell Washington fell, you know, later into the second round. And, you know, this is where, not that Veach isn't always aggressive, but like he's moved up in the second round a number of times in his tenure as the GM. And I could certainly see him doing that again tomorrow, especially.
And that's where I accidentally hit end broadcast as we were wrapping up. Whoops. Thanks to everyone for listening, and thanks to Brett Veach and crew for continuing to make things Always Sunny in Chiefs Kingdom.